You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, and happy Thanksgiving week to everybody. And Moan, this is now our 201st episode.
201, man.
Started the next clock here.
250 then 300 is where we're at.
I guess. We should just celebrate all of them.
We should celebrate.
It's 201.
Like, yes. It's like the new couple. This is our 1 week anniversary. What?
Oh, they do say things like that, though.
1 week and then 1 month. Yeah, man. Like, come on. Nah, get in the trenches a little bit.
And it's not even anniversaries, like legit anniversaries. It's like boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. It's not even like married anniversaries.
That's what I'm saying, man. But look, we're going to let people celebrate the way they want to. Because guess what we're doing? We're celebrating 201 right now.
Yes, DK. We are 201. Steelers versus Colts Monday night in Indianapolis. And Moan, I'd like to think from a positive perspective that what we've seen over the past few weeks in terms of the Steelers losing most of those games is that we at least have more information.
Yeah.
We at least know more about, okay, this person's over here getting better. This one over here, not so much. If you had to list like the team's greatest needs, or even just looking at the draft, okay, without getting, you know, too crazy about that since it's next May, but like what are the main, like the areas that you would say, wow, they've just got to fill this?
Whew, which is, it's interesting too. You got two teams coming up against each other this weekend that have a bunch of needs. So this is the matchup of the needies is what we'll call them, man. But for the Steelers, man, I'm going, and I think it got exposed last week against the Bengals. I would want to go another direction, but it's a toss up of who's best available when these two come up. As it stands, number one, corner. If we're high enough, we get a guy that's that high and pedigree says, look, he's the one. We spoke about Sauce Gardner and what he's meant to that Jets team. I don't think anybody in their mind would be mad at an opportunity to get a guy like him, not him, because I think he's one of those once every 2-3 years type of dudes, man. And you just want somebody similar, simply just looking at his size, his length, his tenacity towards the game. He's a better Richard Sherman in the way I prototype him and look at him in a sense already, man. And I guess on the other side of that too, DK, left tackle.
Yeah. I was actually going to start there, but okay.
Who are you? Well, yeah. I say corner because defensively, I think you're more set than where you are offensively. If we're talking about best available as far as a corner and a tackle, I probably go corner first. That's my personal opinion, DK. I think you're more on the side of give you a left tackle to protect the franchise quarterback.
Yes, very much so. I can't get past the left side of the line in general, but especially left tackle, with all due respect. I just can't, because I've got a quarterback who needs to be able to operate from the pocket as well as rolling out. I love seeing Kenny roll out. Yeah. I don't want to see him roll out on every snap. I definitely don't want to see him. And we saw a lot of this past Sunday where he has to step up in the pocket, but he has to step out of the pocket. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, up and out into danger at that point.
And the reason that he's doing that isn't because it's scripted.
Yeah.
Okay, those weren't scripted rollouts or get out of the pocket. He's just going, geez, really?
or having the ability to throw across the defense to a wide receiver, and he can't because his trajectory is thrown off because he's got somebody in his lap. And there's been a lot of pressures on that side too, man, despite what PFF said a couple weeks ago when they gave him a high marks when it comes down to their grading scale. It's just not good. You hear coaches all the time, I love what you did in your rookie year. And that's why I fell in love also with Dan Moore. It was like, man, rookie year, despite he has some transgressions and some issues, I can't wait to see what second year is going to look like. That is your biggest step. That is where you solidify, I am a starter in this league. Everybody's path is different, but there has to be that jump from year one to year two. And in his year two, we haven't seen that jump. We haven't even seen him really catch ground or grab ground when it comes to his stance and, you know, his ability to kind of dominate in a string of games. We've got almost none of that in the sense, DK. And coaches will hard evaluate that position, man. But he's just got to be truthful with himself. Maybe he fights out of it. Maybe he goes inside to guard or something like that. I don't know what it is, but it's at this point, post this year when it comes to Dan Moore, he's got to decide what his career is going to be.
I mean, that's kind of where it is, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I know you're really open and always have been about the money impact on sports. And a lot of people don't like to talk about that. It just, I know,
but it I happens get it.
To be real. Okay.
It's fair.
And if you're Dan Moore and you can't be motivated by left tackle money, or just you can't be, that just means you're just not good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
DK, had I gotten that starting position earlier and just really solidified it the way I needed to, boy, at left tackle, it's a different billing. It really is. You're in a different zip code when it comes down to it. And it's only 32 of those guys in the league. You know what I'm saying? So you're in a very elite company when it comes down to it. And there's a standard to it. We saw that guy on Monday Night Football, Trent Williams. That's the standard. You say what you want to about Andrew Whitworth when he was with Cincinnati, even when he went to the Rams. That dude held down that left side anchor when it came to protecting his quarterback backside.
That's it.
There's no denying that, DK. Absolutely none.
No. And it's I have a hard time getting past it. I don't want to get to the point where we say a first-round pick absolutely has to be a left tackle, because that's right. When you force yourself into bad decisions.
Yeah.
If there isn't a left tackle in the top 10, 15, then why would you say, well, we're just going to take the best available left tackle? That's nuts.
No, that's absolutely nuts. You go with best available at that position, man. I think with the way offensive linemen, it's been kind of, you know, highlighted more. And I think also the emphasis on it being a more passing league. And also, let's say this, you got Deshaun, who's a passer. You got Burrow, who's a passer also. Lamar can pass. You got to find somebody to take over the freaking tight ends with him. To me, I say, it's a position to where you say if you get two out of the three, meaning Cincy and Cleveland, you're in a real good position as far as defending the AFC North. The ability to get after Lamar Jackson, I don't know if they're going super high to get a D tackle. I think they're solid as far as outside linebackers go, but you know the Steelers the same way I do. If there's a real good outside linebacker there, I can see some traction there. But I'm going corner, I'm going tackle. It's the same way I look at it.
Yeah, for me, I'll condense it even further. It's just trenches, trenches, trenches.
Facts.
You know, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's been way too long since we've seen anything committed to either side of the trenches. When we come back, we're going to look at the Steelers-Colts matchup.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. In the process of preparing ourselves, as we do diligently for all of these segments, we were talking about Matt Ryan, a.k.a. Matty Ice.
Matty Ice.
You know, is there at least a remote possibility that he gave himself that nickname?
Matt Ryan, probably so. He's a Boston College guy. I'd hope he's smart enough not to be able to do that. But goodness, nobody in the history of life ever has been cool enough to give themselves a nickname. Never.
It does not work. Like, you couldn't do it. If you're LeBron James and you walk into practice one day and you go, hey, everybody, henceforth, I am the king.
No, you got to be knighted at something like that, DK. You can't walk around, hey, listen to me. From here on, just call me Big Mo. Imagine if I had done that. No, man, that's not what we're doing.
You would have been laughed right out of the room. You know how I know that?
How?
Because you had a running back who tried to give himself his own nickname when Le'Veon Bell decided to call himself Juice. No, I'm Juice from now on.
Oh, my
are you
God.
Really? You yeah. picked a murderer's nickname? Come on, man.
It's not what we doing here, especially in sports. And you can be very transparent in sports. Like, hey, no, dog, I ain't calling you that. Whatever your mama named you or whatever we name you is what we're going to call you. I'm not calling you a self-picked out nickname. That don't fly.
Plus, you've already got, like, if you're Lev, you've already got something, you know? There's not another Le'Veon you've ever met in your life.
No.
Is
only
there?
One. Only no. one.
And he's already, and everyone's like, Lev, you know, Lev Bell. No, and he's sitting around one day and he goes, no, I like Juice.
That doesn't fly nowhere at all, okay? Like, that's weird. That's different to me. You
can't give yourself your own nickname. It's just,
please.
That's not a football thing. That's a life thing. You can't do it.
It's like, you can give yourself, okay, if you want to give yourself a nickname, do it in your username when you sign up for a new account. Don't do it in the real world, okay? It's not going to fly.
Yeah, that has a chance of sticking. Yeah. The other rule of thumb here, as long as we're not talking about football at all today, is if you're going to do the nickname thing,
yeah,
and somebody else comes up with it,
mm-hmm.
don't resist it.
Please, that makes it worse.
It's so much worse. Now you're totally stuck with it.
You are, man. Like, for the life of me, I didn't know how I would like the Big Ragu. I had people coming up to me saying, hey, on your Wikipedia profile, it's the Big Ragu. I was like, is it? Like, who put that up there? It'd be people I hadn't met before. Hey, I read your profile. You're known as the Big Ragu. I'm like, is it really? But I can't say out front that I was just over the moon about them. I'll be honest with you. I was just like, okay, whatever, it sticks. And now I'm just like, yeah, it's cool. You can't resist the nickname unless it's like condescending or disrespectful. But if it's, look, somebody feel the need to give you a nickname, yeah, that one's sticking, man. I'm sorry.
What about if it's your head coach and it's your first training camp and you've only seen this happen 100 times where he'll find somebody back there.
Like yeah.
Some guys will walk on or, you know what I mean, will walk on.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. And he'll say, you.
Yeah.
And he comes up with a nickname. You're stuck.
Yeah.
You're stuck.
Like, I got a few right now.
Go ahead.
The neighbor, Cody Wallace. The neighbor, super nice.
You called him the neighbor?
I've never heard this. Yeah, Cody Wallace was the neighbor.
Cody Wallace is Ned Flanders.
It's super nice, right?
Yes.
You love Cody Wallace, right? Okay, Matt Filer, the anchor. You know where you get that from?
Hmm.
Anytime somebody bull rush him, nobody's moving Matt. He's the anchor. Get it? Sir yeah. Madamus Anchorus is what we used to call him because he looked like a Greek. He looked like a Viking. Sir Madamus Anchorus. That was his name, man. Doug Ligurski. Bronco.
Bronco's good.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah like that Bronco. One I've heard. Yeah.
Who else had a name? Like Shazier. Just Shay. That just sounds like Shay. A girl name. Shay.
You know, but you know, sometimes he would just repeat somebody's name. Like,
yeah.
Like Jordan Dangerfield.
Yeah.
He would, Dangerfield's back there, and he would just yell out, Dangerfield.
Yeah.
For no reason. It would just come out of the head coach's mouth. Dangerfield.
Exactly. Like, okay, Heath Miller. You know, me, him, and Matt Spaeth have our nicknames for each other, okay? In my phone, if you look it up, Heath Miller's the Godfather. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
That makes sense. You know what Matt Spaeth is?
Hmm.
Patches O'Houlihan.
Oh, that's not bad.
You see what I'm saying? And mine is what is Spaeth ended up calling me? I am to him Aloysius. You see what I'm saying? Like that's me.
Wait, that one I don't get.
It's just out of nowhere. He's Patrick O'Houlihan. Yeah, it's just don't matter where the nickname come from. Just get one. Because if you get one, you're part of the crew.
Exactly. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been our succinct preview of Steelers versus Colts Monday night.
You're not missing anything for the Colts, I promise you. No, let me see. I covered that division here, man. They lost Shaq Leonard, also known as Darius Leonard. I'll be honest with you, man. Cam may end up having a field day on Nelson. Quentin Nelson has not had a year. Their O-line has been giving it up. I expect you to be able to get after them. They have one wide receiver, Michael Pittman Jr. I'm over the moon about him. I'm not over the moon about where they are as far as using him. He's a good wide receiver. They have flip-flopped back between Matt Ryan and Sam Erlinger as quarterbacks. They fired the head coach unjustifiably, so much so that Philly coach smashed, like, just completely, berated. He berated the coach from this past weekend, but in his press conference, he was like, yeah, we came in here and we beat them. We beat them. I'd love to have had, Matt LaFleur? No, it's not Matt LaFleur. Stefanski? No, not Stefanski. God, who was their old head coach name? The Colts. Frank Wright. Frank Wright.
Yeah.
He was like, I was loving to play. I had loved the thought of playing Frank Wright, but he's not here. He went at Ursay, man. You got an owner right now that's overimposing his will to hiring. Honestly, him and Jeff Saturday are just friends. You know what I'm saying? They're 1-1 since Saturday took over, and it's really just a crap show of an organization right now, if I can be real with you. I expect us to win this game.
Score?
Can we get another 30 after this one?
It's getting a little greedy.
It's getting a little greedy. They will play good defense. Their front line is decent. I won't take that away from them, man. DeForest Buckner has a headache. I'm worried about Dotson. I'm worried about Dan Moore, too. He is going to try to get after him as much as he can. That defense ain't bad. I got Steelers winning this 17-10. I can't give them over 20 this week.
Man, sounds like a doozy for Monday night. That's for sure. Yeah. When we come back, the only segment that matters.
That's Hey Moan.
Back to the Ramon Foster Show and the only segment that matters. That's the Hey Moan segment. It's brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where quality is at the core of every menu item. Three expert chefs fine-tune every detail so that every sub, burger, salad, wrap, drink, app, and the pilgrim are crafted for craveability. Order your favorite item today at the Get-Go Cafe and Market. Better believe it. Moan, today's entry comes from Jim Fairfield, who says, "Hey Moan, as an older Steelers fan, I remember watching a great coach in Chuck Knoll lose his mojo. I know that's a simplification and a lot of other things were involved, but I'm wondering now about Mike Tomlin. He seems determined to stand behind an offensive coordinator who's clearly incompetent. Delegation is important as a head coach, but if you continue to delegate to fools, what is your responsibility in that decision?"
Jeez.
Yeah, Jim.
Losing the mojo. Let's say standing behind Matt Canada. I recently covered a team here whose offensive coordinator got a DUI. You know what happened this week? That head coach of that team said he's going to call plays on Sunday. I'm sorry, but to think that Coach Tomlin is going to get rid of Matt Canada during the season, that's not a dream I don't think we're willing to live out right now in the middle of the season. Now, we go late December, early January. All right, there might be a rumor or two that comes out at that point in time. In general, Coach Tomlin losing his mojo when it comes down to coaching or being out of touch, man. If he's fired, he's probably hired if he wants to the next week. I don't know if you call that him running out his time in Pittsburgh or there needs to be a fresh layer of paint when it comes down to a coach going in and laying fresh eyes on it. It could be a multitude of things when it comes down to, you know, what makes a good coach? How does a coach stay consistent? How does a coach, you know, stay at the top of expectations to the team and ultimately to the fans? And I'll say this, I don't know where we find that new coach from. And I feel like we've had this conversation before, but the list of candidates aren't that great. And I know what you're probably thinking. We've seen a guy right now in L.A. with the Rams, Sean McVay. There's conversation of him already being fired or
retiring.
Retiring.
He brought it up.
You know what I'm saying? So where are you going to go get the guy? Sean McVay? You want Sean Payton? Like we've seen that. Sean Payton and the Saints pretty much got that cap in New Orleans into what they call cap hell. Like, they overspent with guys, and they didn't get a championship out of it. They got one with Breeze, but they paid so many guys and put so much money down the field or down the line that I don't know when they're going to be good again. You know, they got to upload a bunch of cap stuff. So it's team management. It's maximizing potential of guys inside of a locker room. I still think Coach Tomlin does a good job with this. You guys see the team when it comes down to it. let's just be transparent here. I don't know how good this team is. I don't think they're that good as it stands right now. I think that's kind of fair to say. Will they compete? Yes. Will they go in fighting? Yes. Will they ever lay down? Heck no. To me, those are things that head coaches, when they have a roster that's mature enough, when they have a team that understands how to play in this league, when they have a team that knows how to be a team holistically, then you get those attributes that Coach Tomlin kind of have. To get fresh eyes on it, think about the history of the organization that you're a fan of. They don't make abrupt decisions. They don't go out and say, all right, scrap the whole thing. You don't have Jim Irsay as your team owner. You don't have Jerry Jones as your team owner. Patience is a virtue when it comes down to it. It's Andy Reid went 30-plus years, if not longer, before he actually won the Super Bowl. And for years and years and years, people said Andy Reid was a really good coach. And then we finally got a chance to see it later. It takes time. It takes patience. Since they won the Super Bowl, have Kansas City been in it again? And if they did, they lost it. Mm. You see what I'm saying? It's only one that reigns supreme at the end of the year. Only one. Everybody else is scrapping and clawing, trying to get to that point. In this league, the bottom 16, to me, they don't matter. They'll have one good shot, Jacksonville, right? Atlanta, right? Make that shot, and then it's like, poof, what happens to them? And then you have ones that teeter in the middle between being real bad or being decent. But then in this league, you have these top eights. You know what I'm saying? Like legit eight teams. And depending on the roster, health, you know, luck sometimes falling their way, those are the teams that you want to be a part of. I, since I've been in Pittsburgh, has always felt like the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of those top eights. And it's a matter of time, a transition from this old quarterback to the new one we have in Kenny. Building that roster. You mentioned trenches, DK. And as far as where to go with the draft, I don't think our trenches is there. There is a point in which right now you got to say somebody got to find a way for Cam soon. He can't continue to play 70% of the defensive snaps. You see what I'm saying? So there's always turnover and change. When this group finally gets together, and it will happen, it should happen, the guy that you have at coach to me is a guy that knows how to weather this type of storm as far as building that team, keeping that team together, what it looks like, and all of those championship teams, and even the one that lost the Super Bowl in 2010. Look at the 05, look at the 2018. All of them had cookie cutter pieces in place in which you line yourself up for championships. Coach T's led two of those teams. Whether you say that was Coward's team or not, he did.
The hardest part, according to everyone in the business, in every sport, is getting there consistently. It's not the winning at all. It's getting there consistently. Every executive in every sport will attest to this. Our next episode of the Ramon Foster Show will come at you Monday morning. I'll be in Indianapolis looking forward to what should be just a classic matchup. It's just going to be awesome, Moan.
Yes. Oh, by the way, I just got to ask, has Belichick lost it or has he lost grace? Which one is it?
I think it went the other direction. Tom Brady lost Giselle. And then, wait, no.
Yeah.
Everything somehow is connected to Brady. Yeah. Let's put it that way. And it always was. And it always was.
Again, the quarterback of ours has to grow up. And I think we all can see that because as soon as Tom left, New England dropped. We're seeing Pittsburgh kind of go through that same cycle. Mm-hmm. Nobody's as lucky to have Alex Smith. And then you get Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Right. Although Alex Smith was doing well there. We can.
You see what I'm saying,
day.
Though? Like, not many get that grace.
No, I know. Let's do it again Monday, Moan.
I can't wait. Now I'm hype up. Happy Thanksgiving also.